the invitation and I'll sing it at the same time. Okay. All right. Matthew chapter 5. That's really loud there. So we have no sound man tonight, no piano player, no organ player. So it's just us. Hallelujah. If you can put up my piano playing, then God bless you. And thank you for your grace. That's for sure. Matthew chapter 5. And we started a series last Wednesday night on living in the light. Tonight, last week we talked about the light is revealing. It reveals to us our sins. It reveals to us who we truly are. And then tonight we'll be talking about the light is reflective. The light is reflective. I saw this little thing as I was studying for this. It said we're sun, S-O-N, reflectors. And that is our job as a Christian, is to reflect the light of Christ through our life. And we know, and this is review, but in us is no light of ourselves. The light that is in us is the light of Christ, and you can read that. We'll read some of that in John chapter 1. But tonight we'll talk about the light is reflective. The light is reflective. Last week the light is revealing, and tonight the light is reflecting. Notice verse 13. We'll read verse 13 just because it's a good verse. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." Now verse 14, there's two "ye are" in this chapter. And the second one is, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light..." Now notice what he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray, and then we'll talk about the reflective light tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity I have tonight to stand behind this pulpit. And Father, I thank you for our pastor allowing me to. I pray that you bless our church and tonight, that you would just bless the hearers and help us all have open mind and open hearts, and that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word. And God, I yield myself right now. Lord, it's been a long day, but God, I come and I think about this subject tonight. And Lord, how all of us need to be reflective lights that are shining your glory and your power through this world and your gospel. Father, help me tonight to relay the truth of your word. And Lord, I just give you all praise, all glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now notice what he said in verse 13. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." And then in verse 14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." Matter of fact, that is not an option in your life. You are, or, and here's the thing. I read this. I thought this was good. You're either fulfilling or you're failing with the responsibilities God has given you. You are either failing or you are fulfilling. In other words, ye are. In other words, God has not chosen any other vessel to carry the light of His Son, the light of the gospel, other than men that are saved, women that are saved, boys and girls that are saved. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." Now let's be reminded who He's talking to in this portion of Scripture. He's talking mainly to His disciples. He brings His disciples aside, whom He calls out from being fishermen. Can you imagine that? They're fishermen. He says, "Come follow me." They do that. He sets them aside on the hillside here, and He begins to teach them about kingdom living on the earth and about being true disciples. And He goes through the Sermon on the Mount. And so as we kind of pick up in verse 13, kind of at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus Himself is preaching. I like that. First message we really hear the Lord Jesus preach in the Scripture is the Sermon on the Mount. And I think it takes three chapters to finish it. It's a powerful message. It teaches us how to live as Christians and how our attitude and all those things. But he's looking at His disciple, and I believe that He's pointing His finger at them saying, "Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. I've chose nothing else. The lost people are not going to be salt." Why? Because they're decaying. Salt, it helps preserve things, and that's what you need to be as a Christian. It's helped preserve the world. The reason we can sing God's grace is shed on America is because of the Christians. Because America's, the reason that America's great is because of the Christians. Because God has kept His hand upon it, because we're the salt of the earth. We're keeping this world preserved through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Then He looks at them again and says, "Ye are the light of the world." In other words, if the gospel's going to go forth, if people are going to see me once I'm gone, they're going to see it what? Through you. They're going to see it through you. Now, God help us in that, amen, that He would allow His light to shine in our lives so we can be a reflector of it. Wow, that's a big responsibility. We're either fulfilling that responsibility or we're failing in that responsibility. Now, why does He want us to be the light of the world? Well, because it's in darkness. And I know we know this. It's getting darker every day. But as the world gets darker, so should the child of God get brighter. Now, I want to go through a few things here in the scriptures that, number one, just kind of a pre-thought is, in order for you to be a light giver, you have to be a light receiver. In other words, you've got to be saved in order to give forth this light. And I know this is Wednesday night, but if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no light in you other than what is shown to you through creation and through just God saying that every man that's born in this world, that He gives some light to them. In other words, you should know that there is a God. By the way, everybody in their heart knows there's a greater being than them. That's why they worship something. By the way, you think about the Buddhists who worship some fat idol. Why do they do that? Why does Islam worship this? And why does other religions worship this and that? Why did they worship Dagon? Why do they worship Diana? Why do they worship all these gods? Because it is in them to worship something. And it's our job to shine the true light and show them what they are supposed to be worshiping. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have a great example. I'm not going to ask you to turn here, but I am going to read this. We're going to be in Matthew. We're going to stay in Matthew. But I want to read John chapter 1 just real quick because the Bible introduces us to a man who's crazy. And he's a Baptist. He's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. But I like what it says. I should read a few verses here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 says, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now here is verse 4. It says, in Him, that's Jesus Christ, that is the Word. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, Jesus Christ is the light of men. There is no other light outside of Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, there is no other source of light that is in this world other than Jesus Christ. When the world was formed, guess who was there? In the beginning was the Word. What does that mean? Well, there was a light. He made a light, right? He made the lesser light and the greater light to rule. He put light upon the darkness of the face of this world. That is a great example of what He's doing to the believer's life. It's darkness, it's void, it's without form and void. And that's the way we are before we're saved. But I'm glad the light come through Jesus Christ. Now keep reading. He says in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What is that? From my house, you can see one of those big old Batman lights. It goes around and around. Well, matter of fact, it was this morning. I was driving to the school, and of course it's still dark, and I was like, I saw it come by, I was like, oh, there's that light. Well, it's coming from a place down off of 35. I'm not going to tell you what place it is, but it's over there on the south side of 35. I was like, oh, I can see it all the way from my house. That's amazing, isn't it? But I finally found the source of that light. Now, don't go looking for that light, because it's at a bad place. Verse 6 says, some of you are curious now, shouldn't even said it. It's kind of like telling a kid, don't touch that, it's hot. Ow! Didn't know it was hot. It's kind of like when they bring you the fajitas, and they say, now this is hot. What are you going to do? You got to touch it just to make sure she's not a liar, right? But verse 6 comes in and says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness, now notice this, of the capital light. That all men through him might believe. Now, not through John. Now, we're going to read. He says he was not that light. It clarifies it. But was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9 says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, as we think about John the Baptist, he came to be a reflector of that light. The Bible told us very specifically that John was not that light. Inside of John the Baptist was nothing of himself that would shine forth any kind of light. You know, it's kind of like if I had a lamp up here tonight, and I forgot to turn the baptistry light on, just in case anybody's wondering. But if I had a lamp up here, and I said, boy, this lamp is so bright, and I don't plug it in, that lamp is no good of itself. It has to be plugged into a power source. And you, as a person that is born into this world, you've not been plugged into the power source. You're living in darkness, even though you have the capability to shine forth light, but you gotta have the source of light before you can shine forth the light. And so what happens is that when you get saved, you get plugged into the power source. You get plugged into the 220 outlet. You get plugged into Jesus Christ, and He gives you light, and He brings you out of the darkness into the light. And now you are to be a reflector of the light of Christ in your life. Well, back in Matthew, John's a great example of the light bearer, the light reflector. And that's what he came to do. Matter of fact, people began to worship John a little bit. People began to follow John. And then John said these amazing words. John said, I must decrease. He must increase. Because John wanted to make it very clear that John was not that light. He was just a reflector. In other words, John said that it's not me, guys. And he had his disciples. He said, it's not me. It is Christ that is living in me. How many times do we hear Paul say that and remind the crowd? It's not me that worketh to do and to will. It's Christ that does that. It's not for my glory. It's for His glory. Paul was always and constantly giving the glory to Christ. Now go back in Matthew. We see that a great example through John the Baptist. But what about us tonight? What about us who are sitting in this auditorium, who are saved? We are to be a reflector of Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to do that? Notice verse 14 again, if you will. It says, ye are the light of the world. By the way, it says the world. How am I going to be the light of the world when I live in Hazlitt? I'm going to support missionaries. Hello. I'm going to pray for missionaries. I want the light to go forth in all the world. Of course, if you have any kind of like Facebook or something like that, it does go around the world sometimes. I mean, you know, people's light. Some people preach messages and it's heard around the world. There's missionaries on the foreign field that listen to those messages. That light goes forth. But look at what he said. He says, you're the light of the world, a city. Now notice this next phrase, that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. Now, notice just one word in that sentence. It says set. I believe, number one tonight, if a light must be stable. As a light source, we need to be stable in being a light for Jesus Christ. Some of us are like the kids that love, Bailey loves going in the bathroom and turn the light on and off, on and off. She loves it. She thinks that's the funniest thing ever to go in the bathroom. I do like that. We have the little touch ones, you know. And she'll be in a fan on, you know, light on off, and you're in there, it's not too stable, right? I get a little dizzy sometimes, and she just thinks it's the greatest thing ever. But as a Christian, it's like our light's on off, light on off, light on off. We ought to be stable. What if a lighthouse was movable? What if it was on a floating platform out there? Don't you think it would be dangerous for the boats and the ships to trust that lighthouse? But what is, you ever see those lighthouses? We used to have one down in Pensacola. We used to go down there when I was a kid. And it's set on the rock. Set on a hill. And it's tall. Why? So people can see it. It's stable. It moves. Matter of fact, that lighthouse has been through many hurricanes. It's been through many storms, but it stayed there. And it's been in a stable place. And as a Christian, the Bible says, a city that is set. When we used to, I used to help Donya's brother pour concrete, as if I didn't have enough jobs. I said, I think I'll pour concrete. I mean, who doesn't want to pour concrete? It's a fun job, right? Yeah. But one thing we would do is that we would form it up. And we would pour that concrete in there, have the rebar in there, and then we would wait for it to set up. That means for it to become concrete. Right? for it to become stable, for it to become unmovable. And once it's there, we can knock away those forms from it, and it'll stay by itself. And we put that footing around that house so when the storms come, when all the rain comes, that it won't destroy that house, and it stabilizes that house. Well, Jesus is our foundation. There's no other foundation other than what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our foundation. As a light, we must be stable. If you want to be a reflector of the sun, S-O-N, you must be stable. Anybody, I know nobody here ever done this, but burn ants with a mirror. I've seen it before. I've never, you know, maybe Brother Forte did. But maybe I did too. But you would take that mirror or whatever you had at that time. I can remember my dad used to work on Volkswagens. And the old bugs, you know, we had them all strode out all over. My dad had a full-time job. A part-time job was working on Volkswagens for people they knew and things like that. But I used to love going out there and getting those old round mirrors off the side, you know, that would fall off. Or, you know, you'd have junk cars out there. And you take those mirrors. And, you know, they're about like that to come off a bug. And you get it just right in the sunlight, and you reflect it onto whatever you're trying to burn. I felt sorry for our kitty cats, too. And not that I ever did anything to them. I just said I felt sorry for them. But you would burn those ants or whatever you were doing at that time. But the one thing I figured out pretty early as a kid is that I had to keep that reflector stable. In other words, if I moved it around, it didn't do what it was intended to do. And as a Christian, we can't allow the winds of this world and the fads of this world to steal us away. We must be stable in our life. We must be stable in our faith. We must be stable in our character. You ever met somebody who's a Christian on Sunday and not on Monday? You know what happens to that reflector? It gets turned around. It gets where it can't be used. Why? Because it is not stable. We need people that are stable in their faith, stable in their characters. We need some families that are stable so the light of Christ can shine through them. Now, number two, the light must be strong. Notice verse 15. It says, neither do light men light a candle and put it under a bushel or on a candlestick and giveth light unto all the house. Now, he said that if when you light it, you don't put it under a bushel, you don't hide it, but what do? You put it on a candlestick. You put it up there where it can be seen so it can be at its brightest, so that that candle or that lamp could do what it was intended to do, that it is gives out a strong beam, a bright beam for all to see. Notice what he said also, I like. He said that giveth light unto all that are in the house. I believe if you're living the Christian life like we ought to be, and I myself, is that it'll shine through the walls, it'll shine through the doors, it'll shine through the outside of your house, and it'll permeate the world around you. I believe our neighbors will see the light if we live right. I believe that the reflection of Christ through our life is that if we have a strong enough beam in our life. You ever had that flashlight, and you turn that light on, and it's like, oh, needs new batteries? That happens every time you really need one, right? You know? You lost something, or lights go out. Our lights went out for a little while last night, you know, and you need that flashlight. And it's nothing more discouraging when you turn it on and it just kind of goes, I like it when you turn that light on. It's like, poof. I love these new LED lights. Anybody give me a witness right there? I love those things. Man, you can blind people with them. I mean, it's like, you know, used to, I remember when I first joined the fire department, we used to carry the old mag lights. You know, you thought it was a billy club, and a lot of time it was, you know, for the police officers. But, you know, you had like six, you know, the big old D batteries in those things, you know. It take you a week to change them out. And then you turn it on, it was like just, you know, we thought that was the greatest light. Now, the little lights are this big, and you know, police use them. I mean, you put it on the end of your gun, you can shine a whole room with that one light. I like those strong lights. Jesus wants us to be a strong light. We're reflecting. By the way, here's the thing. How much light does Christ have? He has all light. He is the source of light. That's who He is. We read last week that God is light. He can't be nothing other. And so the problem is not on God's end of not giving us enough light. The problem is we are not reflecting enough light. We need to have a strong beam. The ships that are tossed on the sea of life are depending on you to shine forth a strong beam across the wave. Let the lower lights be burning. That's us. Send a gleam across the way. All that are in the house. What's the problem with our light? Well, it gets dirty. I remember as a kid, we used to go camping some. And we used to have those old kerosene lanterns. Hallelujah. Remember those? That's for LED lights. And one reason you burnt those old kerosene lighters, it was twofold, for lighting and to get rid of mosquitoes. Because it would get black soot everywhere, you know? And I never forget my brother or somebody, or maybe it was my cousin, had a bright idea of putting that thing in the tent with us one night. We woke up the next morning, we looked like miners. I'm not talking about under 21. I'm talking about digging for coal, miners. We got up and the tent was black. And it was a man. What if we didn't die in that tent? You know, I don't know what we were thinking. I was thinking about whenever we would take those old lanterns and you know, they used to pop the top off and you'd have to clean them real good because what would happen? The light would dim because it would get dirty and it would get that black soot all over it. Can I remind you that that's what happens in our life, and daily we must go to the Lord. Sometimes hourly we must go to the Lord, like we talked about last week, and say, Lord, forgive me, I have sinned. Lord, cleanse my life out. And all of a sudden the reflector will go and it will shine forth the light that it's supposed to. Those old Volkswagen Bug rearview mirrors, a lot of times when I found them on the ground, they had, you know, like mildew on them or something like that. I'd have to take them in there and get the old mean green out. That stuff will clean anything. And you spray that on there and had to clean that light. And boy, the better you clean that light, the brighter it would shine. Can I tell you, is that tonight you can come and get clean? And let Christ shine through your life. And let people see the Lord Jesus Christ. And let them see the Word of God that permeates your life. And be a light that you ought to be. And let me give you the last thing. And it's already kind of been talked about. But the last thing is a light needs to be seen. If you're going to be a reflector, you ought to be seen. I noticed the other day I was pulling out of the Dollar General up here, and y'all notice this now that I tell you. I notice about everything. I'm a very observant person. My wife will agree. I've seen where they put up, I think it's 6 of those reflectors on the side of the road. And the reason that they did that is because people turn too sharp in there and go off in the ditch. Well, they put those reflectors up. Y'all look when you go home. It's either 4 or 6. They get run over sometimes. But if those reflectors are there, they're there for a reason. They're there to warn you of the ditch on this side and the ditch on that side. But sometimes those reflectors get knocked over. If that reflector is not seen, it is not doing what it's supposed to do. In other words, it puts that person who is relying on that reflector in danger. And as a child of God, if our light, if Jesus Christ's light is not being seen through us, we're putting others in danger. We're putting them in danger of never seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ, never trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. What good is a light that can't be seen? What good is it if I have a flashlight in my hand and I never put batteries in it? What good is a lamp if I never plug it in? What good is the headlights if I never turn them on? We are living in a dark society, and it's getting darker every day. I took Fox News off of my phone. I don't even want to read it anymore. It's so dark out there. I hate looking at the news. I hate reading the paper. I don't want to hear about it. They don't report the good things. They don't report how many souls were saved yesterday. They don't report how somebody's life was saved. They don't report those things. It's always this person died, this person got shot, this person's guilty, this person's that, and the world's coming to an end. The blood moons are coming. Maybe he's talking about blood worms. Maybe he misquoted that. But I'm telling you what is happening in our world is that the world's getting darker, but as Christians, we should get brighter. And brighter and brighter. And brighter and brighter. I love our candlelight service. I was against it when we first, Pastor said we first heard it. I thought it was, I was like, I've never been to a candlelight service. That sounds like something Catholics would do or something. I was a little scared, to be honest with you. I was a little scared because I knew some of the kids that are here, like Brody. And I was really scared for the church burning down. Or my wife getting burned by Brody. But whenever we sat through that service, I was like, what a great illustration. When you turn off those lights. It's amazing when Pastor takes that little clicker, the little at nighter, and he just lights it. All of a sudden, there's a little light. The darker the room is, the brighter the light is. Can I remind you that at work, let the Lord Jesus Christ reflect His light through your life. because somebody at your workspace needs to see that. Can I remind you that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says that Satan hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel shine unto them. How's it going to shine unto them? You're going to shine it to them. You're going to be the light that they see. It's not like you're going to take your Bible to the to workplace and go like this and just go, you know, some beam's going to come out of it. Now, the Word of God is powerful, sharpening it. I realize that, but you're the light of the world. That's what Jesus told the disciples. He said, ye are the light of the world. Not this, not that, but ye are. You're the salt of the earth. We are not shining forth the beams that we should be because of the dirt, the laziness. Our lights begin to dim when sorrow comes. There's so many people in our church going through some troubles. I hate it. Don't you wish you could just go take it away sometimes? Don't you wish you could reach into those bodies and take out that ails them and hurts them? And it just hurts because, you know what, you can see it in them. They begin to get dim because of all that is piled on them. By the way, all of us get there, don't we? And it's our job as a Christian to encourage them and to pray for them. And why? So the light can beam again. So it can be a strong light. If the light is not seen, it is no good. Jesus was reminding His disciples here too, and it's a good start for the disciples, is that when you beam as a light, it attracts things. Right? I don't know about y'all, we've been out fishing before. And thinking, you know what, I'll turn this light on. It takes a few moments for that light to come on until what? You're like, here they come, right? By the way, Jesus was reminding the disciples, when you let your light shine, not only is the lost world, the people that need to see it, but also those Pharisaical people are going to see it too. They're going to come and check out that light. They're going to come and it's going to draw attention. And He was preparing them for this attention. And He was reminding them that it is not you. It's Me shining through you. You are to reflect the light of Christ through your life. Without the light, people don't see Christ in our world, in our society. If you don't believe that, talk to some of our missionaries who are in Africa where there's not been the light. And how dark these people are. And people that are over in Indonesia and places all across our globe where the gospel has not been permeated through those jungles and through those societies and how dark it is and witchcraft and all these things that's going on across our world that we as Americans sometimes forget that in other places of the world it's not the Bible Belt. They don't have a Bible. They've never heard of Jesus Christ. How are they going to hear? They got to hear through the missionary, through the preacher. How are they going to trust Jesus Christ? It has to be a light. And I'm glad that we have missionaries that go carrying the torch of Jesus Christ. Carry it high so that beam is strong. Carry it so it's stable. Don't waver. A man that wavereth is like a wave who's tossed to and fro. He's double-minded, the Bible says. He's unstable in all his ways. Be stable. As a Christian, somebody's dependent on it. And then last, the light needs to be seen. In order to be a reflector, need to be seen. When you go down the road tonight, you're going to thank God for reflectors. Because it tells you where your lane is. Right? I'll tell you another one. That when you go down the road, a lot of times, I don't know if it's here, but I know it used to. I had to put them on the road. They put a little blue reflector in the middle of the road. And that blue reflector in the middle of the road tells you that there's a fire hydrant. Right there. So whenever we were going to a fire call, we would look for that reflector. But you know what happens to those blue reflectors a lot of times? They get moved and hit, and we can't find the mark that we need to find that fire hydrant when those are removed. I believe the Bible talks about remove not the ancient landmarks. That's what's happening in our society today. We don't know where it is. But the problem is that we are not being reflectors for Jesus Christ. May we stand up tonight and say, I'm going to be a reflector. Lord, shine through me. Lord, shine on me and shine through me. And He will. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. And God, as Pastor comes tonight, I pray you bless this invitation. Pray that you bless all that is done, that it would bring honor and glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
153. We ought to be set, fixed, as Christians, not tossed about. We ought to reflect the light. That's a great message tonight. Let us be that reflection. Let's sing hymn 153, I Surrender All, as Brother Wiggins leads it from the piano. Ready?